Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming to this session right after lunch. I know how difficult that is, so I really appreciate that you're here with me this afternoon. My name is Lori Lalonde. I'm a senior consultant, and I've been in the industry for almost 20 years now. A good portion of that has been on the .NET framework, so I've been working with C# and .NET for most of my career. The last few years, I've been digging into mobile app development, and I absolutely love it. I'm a Xamarin MVP. I'm also a Microsoft MVP in Windows Platform Development. And I'm part of a group called the Western Devs. We're a group of developers. We write blog posts, we record podcasts, and we speak at events that are like this. Well, not as cool as this. You know, this is the biggest conference I've spoken at, so I'm really excited to be here today. You can check out what we do at westerndevs.com. You can also look at my personal blog on solola.ca and follow me on Twitter. All right, so let's get down to the meat of it. Now, when we start developing mobile apps, you know, we sit down and we get really excited and we have this anticipation we're going to develop the next great app. And this is the type of response we hope to elicit from our users, right? We're sitting there and we're thinking, they're going to love it. Well, what makes a great app? Well, when we're sitting down to code that piece of functionality we think the user is going to need, it's not just about that. It's also about good app design. And we don't just work with the controls that we have at our disposal on the platform that we're working in. Because then that would leave us with a very boring app. Well, let me go back. Sorry. Oh, there we go. That would leave us with a very boring app. So oftentimes, we find ourselves in situations where we have to override the functionality of the basic controls at our disposal. We have to extend the functionality, customize the appearance. This is something that's not new to us, especially as .NET developers. We've done it quite often. And we want to start creating our own library of custom components. So we're not just thinking about extending the controls, but we're also thinking, how do we encapsulate that behavior so that we can reuse these controls in future apps and really speed up our app development? And that's a really big benefit of doing that, starting to think in those terms. So in .NET, we all know how to extend controls. But now we're working in different platforms. Well, we're still on C#, but there's a different component. And in Android, there are some nuances that you have to understand in order to successfully design and extend the views that are in Android. That was a look on my face when I first had to dive into it. So I'm hoping this session helps you alleviate a lot of that confusion, and you can just get right to it and start banging out your custom views. So in Android, once my clicker starts working, there we go. It all begins with a view. I'll come back to the front, so now it's working. I don't have to use my mouse. Every visual element that you look at when you're on an Android phone and you're running an application extends from the view class in some way, shape, or form. It's either directly or indirectly. So there are a handful of controls that you're used to using, text view, progress bar. There's also something called the view group. These are direct subclasses of view. And in turn, they also, other control subclass, those views. So a view group is a container layout. Like, it's a base class for all the container layouts that you're used to using. Linear layout, relative layout, recycler view. And so in turn, you can also extend functionality either by extending view directly or one of the subclasses that are available. I believe Android has over 100 different views that you can use. You're going to want to choose the one that gets you most of the way there. And then you just add in your customizations, and then you're good as gold. So the first thing you're going to want to do is create it your own class, probably in a custom library, I recommend. But you can create it in the project as well. It all depends. That's up to you. And at a bare minimum, you must include a constructor that takes a context and an I attribute set. Now, the context gives you information about the current state of the application environment. It also gives you access to application-level resources and application-level operations, such as starting activities, broadcasting intents, receiving intents. The attribute sets a collection of values that you'll receive, which will define how your view appears in the layout, when in your XML layout. We'll get to that in a little bit. This is not my clicker, so I'm not used to it. There. Okay, so you've created your class, you have the constructor, great. The next step is to figure out what customizations you want to expose in order to be able to use it from the layout. And this is pretty simple. You just expose a set of properties that are getters and setters, read-write properties, make it available, and you can customize your view and code from your XML Android activity when you're inflating your XML layout. Don't like this clicker. Okay. There. So great. You've affected change on the appearance based on properties, which is awesome, but not really. So you've just set properties, but you haven't done anything with them. And so this is where your method overrides on your views come in. You can override a series of methods in order to apply those changes to the view, as well as affect the appearance or functionality in other ways. So generally, the most popular override is the onDraw method. And so that gives you a canvas object, which you can affect change on the appearance when it's being inflated in the layout. There's also onMeasure, which is a popular override where you can customize the width and the height of the view in the layout. And you even have interaction events, like the onTouch event, which you can wire up so that you can have custom behavior if the user touches your view. So once you've figured out how you want to customize it, and you've included the functionality so that the view is responding to those customizations, you now want to add your brand new view in whatever layout of application that you're developing. So it's pretty simple. You just add in your XML element just as you would any other view. You have to reference the view by the package name and the class name. And at a minimum, you have to specify a width and a height. Even if you're going to change it in the onMeasure method, if you want to override those values, that's great. But you still have to add the layout width and height as a minimum in your layout, or when you try to run and compile, or compile and run, you're going to get an exception. So let's take a quick look at a simple example on how we have done that, or how I have done that. So I'm going to switch over. About that. I think I just lost video. Sorry. Okay, we're in trouble. I lost the video. One moment. At H1. So we'll switch it up. Yay. Great. The first clap of the day, and it wasn't even from me, and this is my talk. Do not think that's appropriate. All right. So first, I want to direct your attention to the fact that I have my custom portable class library, and it contains a single class, my balloon view. I'm going to create a custom control that looks like a little conversation balloon, and I'm going to use it in whatever application I see fit. But I think it'll be a neat little control to develop. And so I'm going to define a series of emojis that I want it to render, based on token words in the phrase, and a list of phrases I'm going to have it iterate through when I touch it. So here I have my constructor that accepts my context in an attribute set. And I'm just initializing a paint object. And the reason that I'm doing that is because I'm going to affect change on the canvas by drawing objects on it, but the canvas requires you to also specify how those objects are going to be drawn. And so with using a paint object, you define style, color, font, various things like that. You can pass it into any of the methods that you're using when you're drawing on the canvas. So at a minimum, you have to initialize a paint object. Now I have my custom properties. I'm going to allow the user or the layout or the activity to set text size. I want to determine if I want to show emojis or not, so I'll have that turned on or off depending on the user preference. And then I have accent color and balloon color, so I'm really going to customize the look and feel. I'm going to eventually create a settings page that the user can set these values on. And just additional properties like that. So here we are in the override methods. I have the override to the onDraw because I am going to draw the balloon when the view is inflated. And then every time the color is changed in the settings and we come back, I want it to apply that color. So in the onDraw method, I set my paint color based on the color that's selected. And then I do some calculations on sizing and actually drawing the shape. And on the canvas object, I draw that object and I add in the text. I'm just extending a basic view, so I need to do these things. So that's great. In the onMeasure method, I've just decided to do a simple override. I'm just going to affect the width, the change on the width of the balloon. I don't want it to always take up the maximum width of the page, because that's going to look kind of silly if the phrase is really short. So the only thing I'm going to do is make sure that the balloon sizes down just enough to show the text that it needs to. And that's all I'm doing. Notice that the last line that I'm calling is setMeasureDimension. OnMeasure does not return a value. So the only way you can communicate the results of your custom width and height is by calling the setMeasureDimension method and passing that in at the end of your onMeasure override. If you fail to include this call, you will receive a runtime exception. Last but not least, I decided to override the onTouch event. So now when the user touches the balloon, it's going to load up, or it's going to change the color. And I'm also going to load up a different phrase. It's just a random phrase for now, so based on that series of phrases I showed you earlier. So let's give this a quick run and see how it looks. Are there any questions while it's loading and deploying to my phone? Because it'll probably take a minute. How many people here have already extended views in Android using Xamarin? Oh, so this material is not new to you. That's awesome. How many of you have done this in .NET but not in Android specifically? Oh, awesome. Great. OK, so now my application is loading up. Oh, runtime exception because it just feels like it. I'll rebuild, and then I'll deploy again, and we'll be good. This has happened before. Sometimes, if it's giving you an exception for no reason, clean solution, rebuild, and you're good. Especially if you know it's worked in the past and you've made no changes, which, trust me, this has worked. I've done this like 10 times over since I've been here. So now it's building, and we'll get it to deploy. I'm going to use my Jedi mind tricks, go faster. Sweet application of mine. So anyone have any questions at this time? Yes, Sean. Pardon? I don't know. It's just I've had it there for a while. I might have docked it intentionally. I don't remember. My memory's not that great. But I have. Let's run it. Yeah, I don't remember. I think I docked it intentionally before, but it's been a while. I've kind of left the configuration alone, so I haven't touched it in a while. So we'll give this a run. It's deploying. And it's super slow today just because we're on camera for everyone out there. It just loves to do this. Yes? How you would test it? What? You could write a UI test. So if you've worked with Xamarin Test Cloud, you can write your UI tests, determine if the elements appeared on the screen, and then write your interaction events. OK, so here we go. It's deployed. And there's my monkey app. So this is my little pet monkey, and he's going to give me a new phrase every time I touch the balloon cloud. So there we go. Switched up the phrase. If I hold it long enough, oh, you won't see it. But you can kind of see it. If I hold it long enough, you can try and see the accent color, so it kind of changes color to give a little bit of that something's happening when I'm touching it. But yeah, so we go through the different phrases, and that's awesome. So now I can use this if I'm developing children's apps and I want to create a storybook, if I'm just developing a chat app. This is a reusable control that I have created in a matter of like 15 minutes, and now it can have many uses. So let's take a look at the activity that I'm using it in. As you can see in the onCreate method, I'm just initializing the balloon view and setting the properties in the code behind. Not ideal, but you know, it works. And within my layout, you can see that I have my custom view defined within there. So as developers, we often cringe when we see a lot of code behind. We don't like that. It's not ideal. We prefer a cleaner way of doing things. We prefer to set those properties right within the XML layout. So you can do this by defining custom attributes. In order to do that, in your custom library, you need to add an XML file. You can name it whatever you want. The convention is usually attrs.xml. And you need to include a declare stylable element. And within that, you have to define your attributes. Your declare stylable element ideally should have the name of your view. And I'll explain why in a few minutes. For each property that you've created in the class, you need to create an attribute element, ATTR element. Include the name and then the data type of your property. There are 10 supported attribute types, and although that seems very limiting, it really isn't. These are the most common data types that you'll define. And you notice the last one is called reference. So if you have an image control, use reference, because you're going to be referencing images. That kind of goes hand in hand. Or if you're going to reference a color, you can define it as a color along with a reference. Okay. Now, to use those attributes, now you have to go back into your custom view. And remember that attribute collection that I was telling you about earlier? This is where you're going to retrieve those values and then apply them into your view. In order to easily read the values coming from that collection, you must call obtainStyleAttributes off the context object. You must identify the view or the stylable elements that you want to pull in. That's going to be the name of the declare stylable element in your attributes XML file. And in Android, every time you define a resource and you build and compile, you get access to a unique ID which points to that, and that's what you're going to pass in there. That returns you a typed array, which then makes it easier for you to obtain those values, pull them out, and use them in your code. So now you have access from the typed array to a series of get methods, get Boolean, get string, whatever your data type is that you're pulling out. And you pass in the name of the property. Again, that's a unique ID that's generated by the Android system based on the name of your view as well as, well, the name of your stylable elements and the properties. Last but not least, do not forget to call the recycle method off the typed array collection. Just clean up your resources and memory. Don't leave that hanging around. Once you apply your attribute values to the properties in your class, if any of those affect the appearance of your view, you want to make sure you invalidate the layout, and you want to request that it be redrawn. So you have to call invalidate and request layout for those properties that affect the appearance every time they're changed. In order to make use of those attributes you defined in your custom view within any application that you're using it in your layout file, you have to declare the namespace. If the view is within your current project, you simply append your package name. If it's in a separate library, it's easier than that. You don't have to include the name. You just have to include that namespace, and you're fine. Now you can make use of your custom attributes as you would any other element in your layout file. So as you can see, I'm setting the text size, which uses a dimension value. I'm setting some color properties and a Boolean property. Now let's take a look at how that turns out. I don't know which one that goes to. Technical guy. I forget which button this relates to. One moment, please. Must be two of them.
Yep. And then you want this one.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Perfect. Okay. We're back in business. So, in my custom library, here's my attributes file. I'm defining that I want that view to have a list of stylable resources, or attributes, and I've included them within that resource element. Within the class, back in the constructor, you can see that I'm obtaining that typed array collection by calling obtain styled attributes and passing in the attribute collection I receive through that constructor. And I'm identifying the set of attributes that it relates to. At this point, I'm just retrieving those methods from the typed array. It's very simple. Some methods allow you to set a default value so that if no value is specified in the layout, you can define a default that will apply in the absence of a value. And then I'm calling that recycle method. So that's really the only code change that I've needed to make. I've already set my properties to invalidate and redraw every time they're changed because they all affect the appearance. So that invalidate and redraw just calls that the invalidate and request layout methods. Now let's take a look at how this changes the main project and the code within it. So remember in the activity how we had all that code that initialized the balloon view, and I actually had to get a handle to that balloon view by calling find view by ID. I don't need to do that anymore. So my activity is nice and clean. It's got nothing in it. All of the configuration is now in the XML file. So I'll get that running, and we can see how that looks. But don't be prepared to, you know, don't prepare yourself for anything different because it's going to look exactly the same. And it's going to behave exactly the same. Okay? Now, I'm going to open with a designer because I wanted to point out, or actually, I think I already have it. I already have it here. One thing I want to show you is the designer for two reasons. Remember how I mentioned that you have to specify, or it's a good idea to specify the name of your view as your declare stylable element. There's a reason for that. Notice something's missing from this view right now. What's missing? Does anybody want to answer me? My custom view. Okay? It's missing. Why is it missing? Well, it's kind of there. Right now I can actually click on it. It appears as a mock view. So right now, in the stable channel that I'm using, I can't really see it. It's not drawn in the designer. The properties are not available in the designer at all. But from what I was told by an awesome conversation I had in the hallway with Jeremy. If anyone knows who Jeremy Laval is, oh, he's here. Yes. Because of a conversation I had with him, I discovered that if you download the alphabets, your custom view will appear. It will work. So this is corrected in the latest build. So if you download those alphabets, you create your custom view, you will see it in the designer. You'll be able to affect change on the properties. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, when I was talking about that paint object that you have to pass into the canvas, make sure that you initialize it outside of the onDraw method. Simply because every time anything happens that affects change in the appearance, there's going to be multiple passes of that onDraw method called. So initializing the paint object is an expensive operation. So if you can keep the initialization of it outside of the onDraw method, that's ideal. I did that. I initialized it in the beginning, and I'm only changing the color because that's the only thing that's changing in the appearance of it. So just keep that in mind as a performance optimization when you're working with it. Okay. Oh. With that, are there any other questions? A little bit early today, which is surprising considering the technical difficulties we've had. No questions? Okay, well, with that, thank you for coming. Definitely reach out to me on Twitter, through my blog, through the Western Dev site. Definitely be happy to hear from you if you have any questions or if you want to share anything with me about your achievements with Xamarin Android development or Xamarin in general. I'd be happy to connect with you. Thanks for coming, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the conference.